sir. Could you just tell us your name real quick, sir?
Timmy Calhoun, 088101.
Okay, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. The Honorable Luis Quinones will be conducting your hearing.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Timothy Owens, legal 88101.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for 31412B parole hearing to consider parole to next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. We're having a telephonic hearing, so we'll just be able to hear our voices, obviously, but in the room, we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed acting board chairman, Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Luis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. So far, you're hearing me clearly, sir.
Yes.
I'll begin the hearing with the following summary. Mr. Owens, if you will, if I get a little unclear on your sentencing structure, you can certainly help me along. Mr. Owens is 43 years old. The charges of armed robbery and aggravated assault occurred on or about March 11, 1990. If my math is correct, Mr. Owens, you were 15 years old at the time of the offenses. Is that correct?
Yes.
You pled guilty on September 11, 1991. On November 6, 1991, you were sentenced to 7 criminal counts, 4 concurrent counts of armed robbery, a 21-year prison term to run consecutive to 3 concurrent counts of aggravated assault, a 15-year prison term. We're currently serving a 15-year term for the aggravated assaults, and I believe that's 3 counts, to run consecutive to an additional and final sentence for promoting prison contraband, a 1.5-year prison term. Note, Mr. Owens' primary conviction was appealed and upheld on August 24, 1995. He was granted parole from his first 4-count sentence on March 15, 2005. Again, does that sound correct, Mr. Owens?
Yes, sir.
I will read a brief summary of the offense in question. On March 11, 1990, at 1:50 p.m., Mr. Owens, while armed with a 12-gauge shotgun, robbed a Texaco station at 5039 West Camelback Road. The police estimated the loss at $7,058. Mr. Morris Melman, a customer, was robbed of $58 in cash and a blue cloth wallet containing credit cards. Mr. Sirinder Singh, owner of the Texaco store, was robbed of $200 to $300 in cash, a bottom of the wallet with credit cards, and a cashier's check payable to Darshan Singh, made out for $6,500. The victim said that suspect number one later identified as Timothy Owens, pointed the shotgun at each in turn demanding the wallets. He then took the money from the cash register tray and left in a vehicle southbound on 51st Avenue. Subsequent police investigation in Phoenix Police Department report number 09039703 indicated that Mr. Owens, Dujon White, and Marcus Telegroom had illegally taken a vehicle belonging to Mr. Ray Moore. After using the vehicle in the robbery, they abandoned it. Police investigation, indicated that Mr. Owens was the robber carrying a shotgun. He left the shotgun in Mr. Moore's car. And again, that is the summary of the offense. Mr. Owens had a prior juvenile criminal history, including convictions and 2 periods of probation. Mr. Owens has completed considerable program in the Arizona Department of Corrections. This is not a regular parole hearing, but he has a limited release plan, which includes living with either his mother or sister. He's had a significant history of discipline in the Department of Corrections from 1992 through 2017, with his last major on March 10, 2017 for fighting. This is his sixth hearing before the board. He has no letters of support in his bail packet, at least none that I found, but he does have two supporters in the hearing room today. Mr. Owens?
Yes.
Can you tell us in your own words about the offenses in question and why you should be considered for parole to your next consecutive sentence? Thank you, sir.
When the incident took place in 1990, I was immature, I was a kid, you know what I mean? I was manipulated into a situation to be a lookout, and I got left holding in the bag, you know, and I've been sitting here for 28 years and 2 months now, you know. I brought it on myself. I should have thought about it, but I was easily manipulated. I feel I should be considered right now due to the fact I've been here since I was 15. I'll be 44 years old in 7 days. I believe I deserve a chance to be a productive member of society, to get out there and try to better myself and get to know my family and do something with my life. And if this board give me the opportunity, I would not let it down. I would get out there and I would do positive in the community and not negative.
Thank you for your statement. Mr. Owens, I have some questions before I ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. It looks like that, again, you're serving a 15-year prison sentence that has concurrent charges of aggravated assault. If you were promoted to your next consecutive sentence, which appears to be your final sentence, it would be for promoting prison contraband. So tell me a little bit about that. When did that happen, and what were the events surrounding that?
Well, I got caught with a cell phone. You know, like I told the last word in 2016, I never experienced having a cell phone. I know I shouldn't have had it, but, you know, I got beside myself, and I was learning how to text, I was watching movies, I was doing things I never even witnessed before, saw before, so I was wrong for doing it. You know, I'm paying the consequences. I paid the consequence. Like I said, DOC took 347 days ERC from me and 180 days to World Class 3, which I have served. And now I'm being requesting to be paroled to a 1.5 sentence for the same event. So I feel like I should be granted this parole due to the fact that by my old plea agreement under 13-16-014, for every 3 days I do on parole class 1, I should receive 1 good time credit. As of April 13th, I passed my ERCD date on the current sentence I am on now, which if I didn't have a 1.5, I would have been released in April. But because I had to come to the parole board, I was denied my ERCD, which my earned release credit supersedes the sentence I'm currently on right now.
Okay, sir. You did mention, and I want to make sure that we're clear on this, that the last time you were before the board was in 2016. If I'm not mistaken, the last time you were before the board was a year ago in 2017. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't appear at that board.
Oh, so you waited?
Yeah, I waived it.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. I did notice that, and maybe this is the reason why you waived, but your last major was just 3 or 4 months before that hearing was due in 2017. It looks like you received a major on March 10, 2017. For fighting, so can you tell us about that?
I had a run-in with a member of the Westside City Gang. Like I said, I denounced membership of being involved in the gang, and due to the fact I've been getting into situations where people feel like, you know, they can just come up and attack me. I was cut across my face 2 times, you know. In January 2016, I was hit in the head with a brick in a chow hall on the Cimarron unit, you know, by other gang members. So right now I'm in lockdown due to the fact of that, due to the fact I don't want to participate, and I will no longer participate in living a lie or being affiliated with any gangs. And because of this, you know what I mean, I'm having run-in with individuals, and right now I'm sitting in lockdown because of that, you know, trying to avoid situations so I don't get in trouble, allow nobody to hurt me or hurt nobody else, trying to avoid, stop them from hurting me. So I'm just trying to better my life and do something else, and you got people trying to hinder that and don't want to see me go on and do nothing else.
Okay, sir. I do want to ask you a little bit about discipline, just about your experience. Sometimes I call it an IC when somebody's in the correction system. If I'm not mistaken, you were granted parole to your next consecutive sentence from the first 21-year sentence in March of 2005, correct?
Correct.
And it seemed for about 3 years you didn't have any discipline, and then it started up again. And I recognize that, and I've seen much larger discipline histories, but yours is fairly lengthy. So around 2008, there's a major that's up for drug possession, and then in 2008, drug possession, another one for drug possession that was upheld. So what happened after that? I would think, and again, I'm not trying to get all judgmental, but I would think that after you're paroled to your next consecutive sentence, you don't have a life sentence, so you know that there's light at the end of the tunnel eventually. What happened with the drugs?
Well, it was dirty UAs, marijuana, smoking marijuana. Well, it was life at the end of the tunnel, but sitting up in here and being in here for my kid is different from being out there and being in here. It's a lot of peer pressure, it's a lot of temptations, it's a lot of things that's going on in here that's camouflaged from the world. It's hard being in here, you know. You got to adapt, you got to adjust to your situations. I don't make no excuses for my deeds. I've done what I've done and everything I've ever done. I pled guilty to it, I lived up to it, I stood on it, you know. And that's growing up and becoming a man and understanding and accepting the responsibility for the things I've done. This is what I'm doing now, you know. I could have did better, now I'm trying to do better.
Okay, I'm going to ask you for the same sheet of music on this. When, as far as you're concerned, regardless of how this board votes today, when do you think that you'll be released from the Department of Corrections?
Well, apparently I've been told if I have to go to my end date, that's in 2020, if I'm denied all the way to go to my 1.5 sentence, so apparently 2021. But where I'm having a misunderstanding at is per the plea agreement I entered on the 21 and the 15, I entered into agreement with the state of Arizona stating that I will be allowed release credits. I have earned enough release credits to push me to the next sentence. So if I'm not granted parole, then I'm earning release credits, which they're for not. And right now, I have 2 years release credits. My release date would have been in April of this year if I didn't have a 1.5. So I don't understand where all those release credits are going that I earned by being good, by being in parole class one.
Well, so I'm not going to argue the release date. I just want to make sure that what you thought, and based on what I'm seeing here in Ames, when you had an early release credit date of December 5th, 2021, were close to the same thing. As far as your concerns about how it was computed, I would take that up with your CO3, or if you have something ongoing in the criminal justice system. I guess my point is, I'm not trying to argue that. I just want to make sure that we're both seeing it somewhat the same, that you have a sentence end date that's pretty close to 3.5 years from now. Now, you mentioned that, and I'll be careful here because I don't want to ask questions that affect your security, but you said you're in lockdown right now. Is that because you renounced, or why are you in lockdown?
I'm in lockdown due to the fact I've been having run-ins with gang members.
And did you choose to be in lockdown?
Yes.
When did you choose to do that, sir?
This was two months and a week ago.
So it was recent, in the last 2 months?
Yes, I've been in here two months and a week.
Again, sir, this is not a regular parole hearing. We're considering parole for your next consecutive sentence. And you stated on the release plan that when you're eventually released, you need to live with your mom or sister. But what sort of things would you like to do when you return to the community?
I would like to do a motivational speaking. I would like to go around and talk with juveniles and convince them that the way of life that they're choosing is not the truth. I was manipulated into a lie to believing that the thing that I was doing was correct, which I know now was not correct due to the fact I haven't received one letter from my so-called friends in 28 years who I'm sitting off in here behind. You know, just try to give them the opportunity to see the truth and see it for what it is, and listen to somebody who can live that life and try to help some kids turn their life around.
It would seem that you have family here in the hearing room, which is good. Do you have any other support outside of prison, sir? Church or community groups?
Well, I have my family. I don't know many people. I've been in here since I was a kid, so I have my family and a lot of people I do know. They done went on with their life, so only ones I have is my family.
Mr. Owens, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. And when they're done asking questions, then we'll have your family will have an opportunity to speak on your behalf. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Do you have any questions from fellow board members? Yes, Mr. Johnson.
So how old were you when you got incarcerated on this current charge?
15.
So, what did you sit in juvenile detention center? They remanded you in as an adult to adult court. How long before they did that?
18 months. I got remanded when I was 17.
Okay, so you were 15 when it happened, and then you sat in juvenile detention until you were 17 and a half, and they remanded you to adult court?
Correct.
So you have been incarcerated on this particular instance since you were 15 years old?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, what are some of the things, can you just tell me some of the things you've learned since you've been incarcerated? I know you said that you got the write-up for having a cell phone. You were learning how to text and do different things.
Well, I learned through it all, I learned the truth. And the truth is, you know what I mean, that life is what you make it. I came in here, I didn't understand the Constitution, I didn't understand the laws, and I didn't see it from the law's point of view. I saw it from a tunnel vision, a point of view of the street point of view, and the point of view of the streets is not the truth. You know, the truth is, you know, you help people, you be there for people, and you do the right thing, and you make the best out of life. You know, I'm all about God now. I'm not about the gang, will of life. You know, so I'm just trying to be a better me, and it took this you know, to bring that out. I was infringing on people's constitutional rights. I didn't understand what I was doing. I was being a follower, not a leader. And now I'm willing to be a leader, not a follower. And I'm willing to do what's right and stand on the laws, you know, because the laws is set here to protect us all. Before, I didn't understand that. You know, I was against the police because people said, be against the police. And now I realize everybody hates the police until they need the police. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to get out there and do something positive with the rest of my life and not let my whole life be a negative blur.
Okay, so have you taken any programs since you've been incarcerated, sir?
Yes, I took all of the classes. I just enrolled. I was just in GED, about to take my GED test, but this situation took place and I had to come to lockdown. Other than that, I would have took it. I know I should have been had it by now, you know, but I will continue to do that, you know what I mean, upon my release, because I understand that I need to have the education, you know, to get jobs and do the things that I need to do. But I took a lot of the classes that they have in here, well, what they do have, because certain yards have certain classes and certain yards don't have them. So I took the classes that they did have. It should be documented right there in the computer, all the classes that I took.
Mm. Well, I just wanted to hear from you what you were actually doing. So are you labeled as SMI or?
No, sir. Not the word, not that I know of.
Okay. So what about the drugs? Are you still doing drugs or?
Well, in 2016, I relapsed and smoked some marijuana. You know, but since then, I haven't. I was upset, going through some things, and, you know, I had a lapse of judgment, and, you know, I smoked some marijuana. You know, I'm not taking the medication, the pills in here, but I probably should, you know, because, you know, I have anxiety problems, you know, going through things on the yard with people coming at me and, you know, situations, but I lapsed in 2016.
Okay.
But with marijuana, that's it.
So, Mr. Orange, if you were released on home arrest, how would you avoid these type of situations that you avoided in prison?
Well, you know, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna, like I said, I'm gonna do the God thing. I'm gonna do that for my family. I'm gonna avoid it by doing what I'm doing now. I'm no longer participating in no gang activity. I'm doing what that real life is to the faith. Since, you know, I've been shot six times from 12 to 15. You know, I went through so much, I engaged so much in my life, all based on the lie. So to live this life and in the middle of your life to realize that everything you've been living and standing on is untrue, it's hurtful. You know, I lost my father, you know, my mother just overcame cancer, you know, I got 13 nieces and nephews. That's one, that she's 32. When I left, she was 3. I got nieces that's 29, 20. I don't even know them. I never even met them in person. So I want to get out there and spend time with my family and be with my family. My biggest adjustment is staying away from old associates, which I will do. My family no longer live in that area. I no longer wish to be in that area or be around those people. You know, I want to get out there and I want to do the right thing with the rest of my life.
So what is the area that you used to live in, Mr. Owens?
7th Avenue. The 7th Avenue and Buckeye area.
So Mr. Owens, you know, we see a lot of people come before this board. One of the biggest things that I see people that wind up going back into prison is because they get out and get around some old friends. And many times they're not even out a day or two before they're in trouble and already revoked. Do you understand that? That I know you say that you're not going to be around your old friends, but are you able to do that? Do you think you're able to do that? Because you don't have any friends, you just have family.
Of course, you know, like I said, most of the individuals I grew up with, most of them in here never going home again. So only ones out there is their children. I don't even know most of the people out there. 28 years, 2 months is a long time. You know, so a lot of people, I don't even know people out there in society no more. So, yes, I can stay away from them. As I told you before, I know for a fact that it's a lie. I'm not going to put myself in a situation and coming and spending the rest of my life in here based on something that's untrue or not real. I'm not trying to be a part of the recidivism. I'm trying to get out there and live the rest of my life free and do the right thing with the rest of my life and help people and not hurt people. So, yeah, I don't have no choice but to get out there and do the right thing. I can't afford another mistake. Any other mistake from here, will I be 65, 70? I mean, it's not worth it. I'm not willing to take that risk. I'm not gonna take that risk. I'm not coming back to prison. You know, my family, they've been standing in Arizona due to the fact that I've been incarcerated, but when I get out, they wanna move out of Arizona, which I'm willing to do to have a change of view. So that's what my family want to do. So the first chance I get when I'm off parole and all that, we plan on moving out of Arizona.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you.
Three questions. Yes, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Jimenez. Sir Owens, I'm just interested. You mentioned that you wanted to do motivational speaking. But what else would interest you? You're still a young man. What other kinds of career things interest you?
Well, I will work anywhere, but the career that I want to, establish in is be a motivational speaker and be a counselor. And be a counselor for juveniles. That's what I want to do. But until that takes off, I'm willing to do any type of job that I need to do to help support myself and help support my family. But my goal is to be a counselor for juveniles and be a motivational speaker. That's what I'm putting my eggs in that basket. I want to get out there and help juveniles that was like myself. And that's my number one objective right there.
Okay, sir. Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further questions? Okay, Mr. Owens, if you can hear me clearly, we're at the stage of the hearing where we'd like to invite your supporters to speak before the board. So do we have any supporters in the room today that want to speak? You're all given the chance. Thank you. And when you get to the podium, if you're not comfortable, we can adjust the microphone so that you can sit down. Would that be better? Yeah. All right, I'll do that. Just give me 1 second.
Yeah, I'll do that.
You can put it. Well, you can come on in. There's a chair in a second.
I don't hear it too good.
Oh, okay. Hey, go ahead and have a seat right there. Just be silent.
Yes.
Yeah, just state your full name. Go ahead.
Stephanie and Julie Moran. I'm thinking of my mother.
Okay, ma'am. You said that you don't hear well, but can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to share with the board today?
I just want to speak on that front because I think he's been in prison so long, but I think he deserves a chance to come home and prove to everybody that he could be the man that he's supposed to be. But me, I believe he was very young. And knowing that I believe the little issue that he done had in prison at this time by being there so long, being with other inmates, you couldn't get it to some kind of a man. And yet, he's been going almost 30 years. But I think he came a long way. The last time I seen him 4 years ago, I was going down to see him, but now that I'm got a medical issue with cancer and stuff, I can't get around him. And I believe if my son had a chance to get out and do the right thing that he wants to do, he told me that he wanted to be a counselor to show other kids how easy it is to get into trouble and how hard it is to get out. What he went through for being in the wrong place, the wrong time, and everything, that he never knew what he was going like he did. And I really believe in him that he tells the truth about that, as though he had to do the work because when he was there before his father passed away, he couldn't come. And so they kind of messed him up a little bit. And now that I have all the medical problems and I'm trying to hang in here and see him come home and help take care of the nephews and nieces and put them in the right path and stuff and show them what happened to him. And I really think that he deserves a chance to come home. He hasn't been out on the road since he went in prison. And I've seen a whole lot of kids get out and go right back for the same thing. And he hasn't even had a chance to do that. And I really believe in my heart that he will do the right thing, get out and get a job, and be the man that he's going to be. So I thank you all for listening to what I had to say, and may God have a nice job.
Thank you, Madam. Just one second. Any questions from fellow board members? Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
If Mr. Owens were released, if the board would release him at some point, would he come live with you? Or
he can live with me or my daughter, right here.
So that you have his local place, right? Okay. Because this is, he wouldn't be released this time, but potentially very soon, because he's got a release date coming up in the next couple of years.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I put can't come home to stay with my daughter because over the last year, the little grand stuff, or no one even in that neighborhood, and I think my daughter here is a decent neighborhood. And he can come out of this job or whatever, and she's here to help him do what he got to do.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Rittenhouse, any further questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, you're
welcome.
No, ma'am. Are you going to speak next?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm just saying we're just going back to you.
Okay.
Now. Just one second.
Okay, ma'am, can you state your full name?
Kenesha Owens.
And Ms. Owens, what would you like to share with the board?
I would just like to share with the board that I've never really had a chance to see my uncle face to face, but he's had a great impact in my life just being over the phone. And I know that he could have that same impact on his other nieces and nephews because we do need him. He has helped me repair the relationship between me and my mother, which was very broken before. And I know that he can do a lot of good for the community. Our family is mostly women, and so we're excited for him to come home. We're looking forward to him to come home. We put him on this pedestal because we know that we can count on him, and we know that he's going to do what he needs to do for us. If for nothing else for us, and we know that. So I just want to say that I would love to see him. I want my kids to meet him. I'm almost 30 years old, and he's been here since I was born, and I just would like the opportunity to get to know him past the phone conversation. And I think now is the time that's very important because my grandmother says over and over again that she's hanging on until she sees her son.
Thank you, ma'am. Good question.
Yeah.
Just so that I understand the family, or will he be living with you or
my mother?
Your mother. So are you living in the same house or?
No.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Thank you, ma'am. Is that everyone who's going to speak today? I should ask this to Mr. Owens. Mr. Owens, are you still on the phone?
Yes.
You said that if you were released, you wouldn't be living in the same area. So where do you think you'd be living upon your release?
In El Mirage. El Mirage, Arizona.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we've heard from your representatives, and thank you. Mr. Owens, we're getting close to the end of your hearing, is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. Is there anything else that you feel that is important to share with us before we deliberate? Thank you, sir.
No, sir, I'm content with what I said.
Well, thank you, sir. And I think you, well, one of the things I did want to commend you on was how much education you pursued while you've been inside the Department of Corrections. And I can hear it. So the board will be going into discussion now, especially because we're on the telephone and they sound like they're speaking with you directly. But is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes under the open meeting laws of Arizona? So we'll just remain on the phone, Mr. Owens. We'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an interesting case, and I'm trying to look at it practically. And be open-minded. We had some discussion about early release credit dates and sentence end dates, and I think the fact remains that it's hard not to have some sympathy towards an individual that's been in the prison system since he's 15 years old. Certainly, he was involved in some violent crimes. There's a reason why he had the consecutive sentences. Plus, the problem with the promoting prison contraband with the telephone. But he has been in the correction system for quite some time. He has pursued considerable programming. I know that we're not here to vote on whether or not, but with a real sentence end date so close, I'm wondering about whether or not Mr. Owens might be best served getting a little closer to that release date and putting together a plan to return to the community. I like the idea that he's not going back to the same neighborhood. He said some very important things about associations and commitment to moving on, if you will. That's where I begin the discussion. I recognize this is, there's kind of two sides of this coin. The one thing I don't want to forget to say is that I recognize that there's been a fair amount of discipline all the way from 2017, but again, I'm still open, and that's where I begin the discussion. Yes, Mr. Johnson. Okay.
I think that Mr. Owens, at least I'm impressed with Mr. Owens. I'm real familiar with that area. You know, I worked over there in that area as the police officer. I worked over there as officer friendly in Bethune School. I did the Holmes Boys Club. I did the Valley Christian Center over there when all of those things were going on over there in that area. That area really has totally changed. He probably, if he even got out and went through that area, he'd probably be halfway lost. The projects don't look like they used to look. None of those things are the same the way it used to be. But I say all of that because I've talked to several young men who have done really extended periods in time in prison. And those who have been successful, who have gotten out of prison and not gone back and gotten in trouble, sound just as Mr. Owens sound. You know, they have made a decision to make that turn in their life, and no matter how hard it is, they made that decision to make that turn in their life, and they become successful out there. They become successful and happy just to be out and not have to look over their shoulders and not have to go back. I think that Mr. Owens, you know, has turned that corner. I also, you know, understand the system that he was 16, 15 years old when this incident occurred, and he was a juvenile when it occurred. But, you know, he remained incarcerated in juvenile until he turned 17, and then he turned 17 They remanded him to adult court and tried him as an adult. He's never really had the opportunity as an adult to do anything that he had there. So I think that even looking at his prison record, and even when he says that he has the phone, you know, he was trying to do some positive things. He's learning how to text and do some things that you have to do that this world's going to be altogether different. But I think that I am very supportive of Mr. Orange going to his next consecutive sentence, and hope that if he feels as though he has some time coming, that he works with the CO3 as well as time comp to see if his time is correct. There's nothing we can do about his earning time, but that's something that he may want to take up with the CO3 as well as time comp to do that. But I do think that Mr. Owens has been very sincere in his talk, and that, you know, I understand as a young man, 16 years old, getting into the institution, trying to break away from all his friends, and those people that he know are incarcerated with him, and some of them don't want to do right, and he's fighting that peer pressure. But I think that he's right with wanting to be with his family, and if his sister is in El Mirage, that's a long ways away from where he's actually going to be at. And I just, in my heart, I just think that Mr. Owens would be good, and I'm definitely willing to pass him on to his next consecutive sentence.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further input from fellow board members?
I'm certainly I'm kind of on the fence on this one, Mr. Quinones. I mean, I hear some of what I hear what Mr. Johnson says, and I do appreciate the one factor that I guess nobody's mentioned is just how very young Mr. Owens is. He's only 43 years old. He's, as he said, 44 in a week. But and that's very young. But I am troubled by the discipline, the recent discipline. I mean, we have majors in, we have two in 2016 and a major in 2017. And I understand, I read the backup on those, and it looks like some of that might have been in, around retaliation for his political activities. But he did also admit to smoking marijuana in 2016. So I do appreciate that he'll be moving far away from where. I think that's absolutely critical. But I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with the parole at this time.
Thank you, ma'am. Any further discussion?
I just want to say that I do understand that he has that. He does have a short period of time. He has had some major crimes, but he just seems like, even though it's been a month and a half, that he's taken the opportunity to get out and try to do right. I just hate to just, you know, the man's been in prison since he was, you know, 15 years old, that the one time that he made, this may be the one instance that could have him turn his life around to continue to be on a positive road. That's why I think that I'm supportive of him having the home arrest, although I do certainly understand that, and I think my feelings may be a lot with having to deal with those young men over there in that area from time and seeing some of them as an adult and listening to them as adults who've done many years in prison. Some of them I put in prison to see them have that opportunity and hear what they say. But this young man sounds just like the few of the young men that I've talked to that have really turned their life around.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'll follow up with that too. As always, I respect the opinions and independence of each of the board members. It's something that I'm very proud of. Absolutely, I hear what my colleague, Ms. Rittenhouse, is saying, and I think under certain circumstances, I probably lost that. I'm still staying practical, and that is that I recognize that he has a firm sentence end date that's coming up pretty quickly, and I would like personally to give some encouragement for Mr. Owens to really start putting his plan together for a safe and productive return to the community. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and we'll see how we vote. But my motion is to grant parole to his next consecutive sentence. Mr. Owens, that is, ABC number 088101, and deny absolute discharge, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Disagree.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Mr. Johnson, and disagreed upon by the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Let me check the right boxes here. It is parole to the next consecutive sentence. But denying absolute discharge. And Mr. Owens, can you hear us?
Yes.
The board has voted to grant you to your next consecutive sentence at a majority vote. And it's simple for this type of parole. Because you still have your last sentence to contend with, although it is short. But this is very important, and that is for conditions of release in context of parole to your next consecutive sentence. Please hear me when I say this. The conditions are to abide by the institutional rules, to continue to abide by them, because we do recognize there's been recent discipline. To partake in available programming, and there's a good sign that you've already been doing that, and to refrain from disciplinary infractions. Mr. Owens, we have a lot at stake so close to a release date, so we encourage you to take advantage of this time again to put together a plan for your transition back to the community, to put it in simple terms, to stay out of trouble, and we wish you the best for the remainder of your prison sentence. Do you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you, Will.
You're welcome. I want to thank your family for attending. And I believe this brings a ring to close at MS Meeting Board members. We have that covered. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Owens.
Could you put the CO3 back on the phone, sir?